Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to the Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Down One Bourbon Bar, right by KFC Yum Center. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumbs Revenge, and I'm sitting with
Mark Blankenbaker, also known as at UofL Sheriff 50.
And we've got a big show. We've got program updates. We're going to talk a little baseball. We've got a new assistant basketball coach. And
woo-hoo!
Mark was down at the KDF Basketball Classic, Kentucky Derby Festival, talking with the new recruits. It's the Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Program update.
All right, Mark. You know, football's over. Basketball's over. Now we've got Dan McDonald's baseball coming in with a full head of steam. And program updates, let's talk first about baseball.
Baseball is rocking, and right now is the absolute best time to go out to a baseball game.
Man, this weather.
The weather is out of control good. They have six home games in a row. They're going to finish the six-game homestand against Ohio State next week, and then they're going to have – it's just incredible weather. The forecast is outstanding. They're playing really good baseball. They're still in the top 15. They did drop down to about 13.
After the sweep of top 10 Houston, they came home and laid an egg with lots of errors against Kentucky, and that dropped them a little bit.
And they lost two out of three to UCF in Orlando. So – kind of a tough
ending
little
on the win, though. They did win the last game 3-2.
Exactly.
Trying to turn it around.
Had a little three-game losing streak after beating number 7 Houston three games in a row. So you figure that one out.
Celebration action, I think,
but,
is what happened.
You know, this is still a good baseball team. They have their pitching is still sort of inconsistent, but as you get towards the tournament season, you start to really pare down your arms more, and some of these starters go into the bullpen and they provide relief and they don't start some of these games. And you know you can't have the abandonment of your bats like they had during that little losing streak that they had, and that
hurt the total package.
Yeah, they needed to play Louisville baseball. They played great against Houston. That's the team that can go to Omaha, but if you just like baseball, you can go out there for free. Take your kid. You know,
it's nice.
The concessions are not expensive.
Really, it's a really nice stadium.
The weather is amazing. And if you're into derby time, like right now, the track opens this weekend, you can go out there and catch several games in a row, and you can kind of get the derby feel going.
Nice.
You know, so it's just sort of a, you know, spring has sprung. We went through a terrible winter.
Yeah.
Why not go sit outside
exactly.
and watch some baseball?
Get outside, people. Get out of your houses. We've got cancer awareness tonight. We've got Western Kentucky. That is a game that's going to be done by the time you listen to this. Hopefully Louisville took them down. We've got Morehead State, Connecticut, Ohio State, as Mark said, ending on, and that will be April 30th. So literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in the next, looks like about 7 days, and then they go on the road for a solid 9 days, and they come back with a huge game on May 13th. So get warmed up with the games this week and get ready to get loud, because Indiana's always a tough game. That's who took them down and out in Omaha, right?
No. Oregon State got them, but they did beat Indiana in a key series.
Okay, that's
prior
what it was.
Prior to the NCAA tournament. But look, Indiana, a very good traditional baseball program. Mm-hmm. It's always one of their tougher games of the season. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, look, big time baseball. Dan McDonald has it rolling. And, you know, once they play Indiana, there are only 3 games left until they actually go to Clearwater, Florida for the AAC championship. And, you know, right now it looks like that they're going to make the NCAAs. Hopefully they can close out the season well and host a regional, and then maybe even host a super regional. And then if they could do that again, who knows if the NCAA will actually grant them a regional and a super regional like that again. But it would be amazing if they did. Beating Indiana is a key to that. Beating Kentucky would have been a key to that. They lost both games to Kentucky, unfortunately. So you really need to dominate your region in order to get regionals and super regions. And Louisville didn't do that necessarily, but they have an opportunity against IU to really go out there and do that. Speaking of IU.
Speaking of IU, let's move to our next topic. We just done pissed off Tom Crean. Took his top recruiter.
Yep.
Kenny Johnson.
Yeah. Kenny Johnson comes to Louisville with a net around his neck. Not entirely sure knowing why he has that net around his neck. But he is definitely coming to a place who knows how to win in the postseason. From a place who could recruit but had no idea how to win in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. From a coach that can teach him how to coach.
Exactly. And I think Kenny Johnson, he has this reputation as a great recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
He has landed players for IU.
Yep.
You have the list.
Vonla is a one-and-done player freshman. He's a Big Ten freshman of the year, 6'10", big guy. He landed him. James Blackman, if you remember the big competition between Kentucky and a bunch of people, he landed him. Troy Williams, who Louisville was in on till just about the final door, landed him. And then good luck, what's his name?
Okanoba. He went to UNLV, but he was close.
He went to UNLV, but he had Indiana's final two. He's all over him. This is a guy who was big in the AAU circuit, which is the way of things these days.
Mm-hmm.
So he is well-connected. He recruited the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area very well. There's a lot of very good talent there, and that's where Keats was really strong.
Sort of in Virginia.
We're losing Keats, and now we're going to pick up right where Keats left off recruiting-wise. Keats obviously was talented many levels, and that's why he's got a new head coaching job at North Carolina Wilmington.
UNC Wilmington, and Chinano Onowaku came from Washington, D.C. It's the same area that Kenny Johnson is really known for being able to work, and there's been a lot of really good players to come out of that way. You know, women's basketball, Angel McCautry, Baltimore kid. So that's a basketball-rich area of the country.
Yeah.
And Louisville hasn't really taken advantage of that area in the Mideast very often. So it's kind of interesting to see Coach Pitino go back to that area after having some success with Coach Keats.
Yeah. And I don't want to get UofL fans too excited, but the word is he's in pretty good with Thonmaker, who is this 2016 freak. He's 7'2". He dribbles like a guard. He shoots the three. He can whatever, serve your kids ice cream. I mean, this guy literally can do like anything. But it gets real dirty at the top. And if we know anything about Coach Pitino, is he's all about hard work. And I don't think he's really interested in his years before retirement of throwing out huge infractions. So if it gets dirty, we're not in it. We are not in it. But I understand he's in good with him. So something to be excited about.
You always see the recruit that visits campus that Louisville suddenly doesn't recruit. And generally,
Louisville is no longer recruiting this kid. It's like,
oh,
what?
He was just
why
here.
Wouldn't you?
Well, why wouldn't we? What's happened?
Terrific
player. You can pretty much connect the dots generally.
Hashim Thabeet fit that, and also Quincy Miller from Baylor fit that.
There's been a bunch of guys, and some guys they clash with the guys on campus. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't have the right personality. You know, I was really interested, you know, to watch the kid that committed and he decommitted. Now he's going to Oregon.
Yeah,
and I can't
Jaquan
remember
Lyle.
His name. Jaquan Lyle.
This is third. He said, I'm going to commit. I'm going to.
He's committed for
pick my school on blah blah blah, and then I was like, well, that would be your third time.
Yeah, he's decommitted and committed, and he was at the Derby.
Louisville was the second pick.
Yeah, he was committed to the Cards for a long time and had a great relationship with Quentin Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
But I was shocked at how out of shape he was, but still how good he was.
Okay, so we are now switching, folks.
Sorry.
To the Kentucky Derby Classic. Mark is referring to this recruit. But before we do, let me bring this up. Isaiah Briscoe is a five-star point guard combo guard who is also really good with
Kenny Johnson.
And Pitino met with Isaiah last week or a few days ago. And his dad, there's an article on, you know, you can check it out. Think on Inside the Bill. I'm not sure, but there's on one of the websites that his dad was so pumped about meeting with Pitino and talking with him, and they are like so in on Louisville. And then, oh yeah, Kenny Johnson is great with them as well. And they just said, I heard Louisville might pick him up. So I mean, it's only going to help the recruitment. We don't know if this kid is going to commit. But just know that good kids are on the way. Keats left. That hurt recruiting. Kenny Johnson has got that covered. We're fine in recruiting. Now,
yeah. I mean, in terms of recruits, that you can't really expect that many in this next class. 2-3 tops, I bet, because you just signed six guys.
Yeah, we loaded up.
But
You know, including Anas.
Anas Osama Mahmoud.
Who's 7'1", from Egypt.
7'2".
4 languages, going to the engineering department. May redshirt if we can't get enough strength on him.
Yeah,
he's a very skilled athlete.
He just had a little surgery, and so we'll see how he bounces back from
that. Part of the class of 6, so the reason why we can't sign a big class next year.
But I really like the way he looks. I mean, he's very athletic, and I obviously didn't see him play in the Derby Festival Classic, but he just on film has athleticism that you don't really see in a big guy.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he lumbers.
No.
And, you know, he looks like he moves pretty fluid.
You know, even Chinanu at the Derby Festival Classic, like, kind of ran. I'm like, he didn't run as well as Gorgui. You know what I mean? Gorgui, as 6'10", could run and get up and down the floor, and he looked fluid. Chinanu, not as much, but the thing that Chinanu did that was really interesting is that he just never quit. He just, like, not real technical, but just honest to goodness effort.
We like motors.
And he could block shots and he could rebound. He did foul out of the KDF event, but
I want to see him against Montrez. Montrez training him. If Chinanu's got a good motor and Montrez has a motor that never stops, I'd love to see that battle as Chinanu is getting lessons from the senior.
Well, Montrez, not senior, but about to take him
his
to
elder.
He's about to take him to school because he needs to really develop his body.
Yeah.
Like, not that he's, like, out of shape,
yeah,
but he's just not sculpted. Mm-hmm. You look at Montrezl Harrell. I mean, he looks like he could be a statue.
Yep.
Like, you would carve him that way. Chinanu Onuwaku probably has never had any strength training program in his life. Mm-hmm. He's not overweight. He's in good shape. He needs to get some cardiovascular stuff going on with him, but he's not, like, a terrible-looking person. He just isn't the, you know, the specimen that Montrezl Harrell is. Going against them, it would be interesting because Chinanu would have some height over him, but athletically, Montrez off the board.
Well, no, that's better. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's supposed to learn his lessons, but if he's got a good motor, then, you know, that just because you're not chiseled doesn't mean you don't have fight. So if he's got a good motor, I'd love to see that in practice.
He definitely has fight. And what he's going to need to learn in college is to keep that fight, but then also to figure out a way to not fight so much and foul out. Because that's where he got his silly
controlled
fouls. It's like
controlled.
It's
emotion.
Like, you lost the ball, chill out, let it go, just run down the floor, and you gave it good effort, good. That's great. But then he did win other balls that way.
Yep.
So he's got to find that little medium there.
Yeah.
I was talking about Jaquan Lyle before.
Yeah.
That's a guy that I felt like had so much talent, but, like, literally doesn't care. Like, he is a natural, gifted, born basketball player who showed up to the KDF event probably 25 pounds overweight and really didn't care all that much, but still made enough plays to impress me, but also enough plays that he didn't make.
Yeah, where
that
he took off.
You're mad.
Like, yeah, it's like, I wish I had your gifts, buddy.
Yeah, that made me mad because I'm like, guy, this, you know, he's going to Oregon. Great. Yep. But you have to actually put in the work to stand out in the college game.
Yeah.
And you can't – he looked like Raymond Felton without Raymond Felton's polish, okay?
Yeah.
He needs to really honestly find somebody out there.
He's a bad fit for Patino.
He would have been a terrible fit for Louisville.
And sometimes we have to understand that as fans, that sometimes these kids don't work out. It is better that way. There is more than a handful of recruits that we were upset about not getting, Negus Webster-Chan of Missouri. I mean, we lost a bunch of recruits that left when Fuller left. All we did was win a national championship.
Right.
It's like Rick Pitino, it doesn't matter to him. It hurts if you put in effort and you lose a kid. But usually who's landing on his roster are the right kids. The people that work hard, the people that he wants, the people that he knows can take a beating from coach in practice and that are willing to put in the effort to get better. It sounds like Lyle's not that guy.
I saw Lyle for 2 nights in a row. And in my opinion, and, you know, it's hard to say that after only seeing the guy for 48 hours, but he would have had the impact on the program that Derek Character would have had. What could have been if his attitude could have gotten to the point where he could have taken basketball seriously, but he would have been enough of a distraction to, you know, really be a detriment to the team.
Yeah.
T-Will had his attitude issues, but he was developing enough and cared about basketball
enough. Worked very hard.
To make a positive contribution. So you can have attitudes and have, you know, different colorful people and personalities, but you cannot have a bad attitude without a drive to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Wayne Blackshear's opposite, great attitude, needs to find drive.
Yeah.
Jaquan Lyle, probably both. Okay. So really bad combination for this program. So it's a good thing he's not there, but I just want for him to be, you know, find it.
I could care less.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right. Someone I do care about, is Quentin Snyder. So tell us about Quentin Snyder.
He's everything that you think he is. Yep. And probably even
more. Was he an MVP of the KDF?
He's an MVP of the white team.
White team MVP.
And, I thought, you know, I mean, the best player in the game went to Xavier, and I'm forgetting his name, but probably should have been a McDonald's All-American. Could score every which way that you wanted to. In an All-Star game, Quentin Snyder was distributing like crazy. I think he ended up with
10 assists, yeah.
Well, there was a 10 assist. Yeah. I was kind of just amazed. He's not the shooter that you'd want him to be right now. He's got a great mid-range game. Not awesome from the outside, but he's good enough, and he can get hot. He definitely can get hot, but he's just a distributor, a passer.
That's good.
Good. I felt really good about his defense. I think he's just a good basketball player. And talked to the organizer of the event, Mike Gandolfo, this summer about Quentin, and he told me that, you know, he talked to Patino about him, and Patino told him he's the best point guard in the country, in Patino's opinion. Yep. And he's seeing everybody else. In my opinion, Quentin Snyder's better than Jaquan Lyle. And I know I'm excited.
Maybe Lyle has a taller ceiling just because he's got the measurements.
Maybe.
And if he figures it out.
But
it sounds like Quentin Snyder knows how to play basketball.
Yeah. And there was this play. It was an offensive rebound. Quentin had it clearly.
Yep.
He was going to get the offensive rebound.
Yeah.
Before he even hauled it in, he was looking in the corner.
Yeah.
Before he even caught the ball, because he had a guy wide open, he looked over there, made sure the line was clear, caught the ball in one motion, threw it over there. It was beautiful.
So we miss coach on the court, Luke Hancock. So maybe we got little baby coach on the court coming in right away.
You hope that your freshman isn't your coach on the court.
No, but I mean, smart players are smart players.
Instinctive. He has natural basketball instincts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited about Quentin. He's going to play a lot with the Chris Jones, Terry Rozier, Quentin Snyder lineup. That's going to be your three-guard rotation. I have no doubt about that in my mind.
That's great.
They needed they needed that third guard. He can play both.
Yep.
And really, Terry and Chris can play both.
Yep.
So they have three guys who can play point or shooting or shooting guard, and that's all you need.
Yeah, and we got Anton Gill, and we got plenty of guys to use in the rotation if we need to.
Right.
And so you did get a catch up with Quentin Snyder, so let's go ahead and cut to that interview.
One-on-one.
It's a lot of fun, you know. We got the crowd. That's what we're trying to basically do, get the crowd hype, line through the behind the back, the name that he dunked, and alley to Jalen. I mean, getting the crowd off their feet and getting ready for next year.
I know it's just an all-star game, but did you learn something by playing with those guys?
Yeah, I learned a lot. You know, they just like to rebound a lot. That's what they like to do. They rebound, get putbacks and all that. They're going to be good for next year.
You going to give Chinonu a hard time about fouling out?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him about that.
Was any of that alley-oops, were any of those planned ahead of time, or just happened in the game flow?
Oh, it just happened in the game flow. I seen him point up, and I just lobbed it, and he catched it and dunked it.
Yeah, did you feel like you started any kind of chemistry there with those guys?
Yeah, right there, basically when I threw the back-to-back assist to them, that's when we started a real good chemistry.
Did you know you were going to get the MVP?
Nah, not at all.
What's that mean to you?
It's a big honor, especially this Derby Festival. Things have been around a lot of years, and winning that is pretty big.
Yeah.
Did you go out here with a certain direction in mind and how you wanted to take the game?
I just pretty much just want to have fun, you know. I was just relaxed, that's all. And for me, I was just trying to find open people that was open, and I found that's what I did.
What'd you learn about your future teammates?
What I learned is they like to pretty much get the ball down low. That's what they like. I mean, they get offensive boards and everything. They want the ball all the time. So I pretty much, as a point guard, just feed them. That's all.
It's just the first time, but it's got the chemistry a little bit. How'd it feel out there?
But the chemistry with them was pretty good. Like I said, when we got that back-to-back assist, that's when I started feeling the chemistry right there.
You've got both those two guys coming in, and then you got 2 7-footers as well. You got a lot of height, right?
Yeah, most definitely. It's going to be real big for next year.
Great. Thanks.
Going into next year, where do you think your net game needs to improve?
pretty much getting quicker on my defense, pretty much. That's what I need to work on, and how to use the pick and roll and all that.
What's your strength as a basketball player, would you, if you had to say?
Probably ball handling, my passing, and my shooting, but I was off tonight, so pretty much just my passing and ball handling.
If fans are going to find out about who Quentin Snyder is, like, who's your favorite musician, superhero, stuff like that?
My favorite musician is Fabulous, and my superhero would probably be Incredible Hulk.
Looked like you were in the three-point contest. You looked a little winded. Is this just from just busting it out in the first half?
Yeah, just the first half. It got me my legs underneath. I didn't really stretch or nothing for the three-point contest.
All right, what was it like playing with Jaquan Lyle out there again? Last time y'all played together, I think y'all were planning on being future teammates. What was it like seeing him again?
It was pretty good. Nice seeing him. I was talking to him at the hotel. You know, yeah, I'm glad for him. He was signed to Oregon, a good school for him where he can play and all that.
Okay, so pretty cool. You get to go talk to Quentin Snyder. Yeah. Bet you had some fun there.
We're going
to
talk to him a lot, I think, in the next couple of years. Hopefully four. Or hopefully not four, actually. You know, I actually don't have a problem with these kids staying around 2 or 3 years. And
If they're good enough.
If they're good enough.
We're just mad we can't do it.
They made a huge impact on the program if they can leave.
Yeah.
But I like to see guys for 4 years. But if they don't, you know. Sometimes, maybe not.
All right, so very athletic, had 14 points, 10 rebounds. Looked like he had a very solid game. Jalen Johnson, tell us what you saw out of him.
Jalen is very good. He's a very good basketball player. He's like a little bit of a shorter version of Earl Clark, okay? Jalen.
Shorter, though.
A little shorter than Earl.
I thought Jalen, though, was 6'9".
He's 6'8". Okay. And he's not as
Certainly not as bulky.
He's not as bulky, but
he's got the wingspan.
He's got the wingspan. He wants to be more outside than he probably should be. Mm-hmm. He needs to get a little bit bigger, but he moves really well without the basketball. He's a good defender.
And he handles the ball pretty good.
He does.
You know, like for a big guy.
He comes from a basketball family. His mom is a former college basketball player.
Okay.
He said that he couldn't even beat her until 2 years ago.
So, that's probably when he had his growth spurt.
Yeah, and he did. And, you know, he's going to be great. He is more – he's further along in the post than Chinaunu and Nwaku.
Mm-hmm. Seems like Chinaunu is more of your traditional throw elbows kind of big guy, where Jalen is that hybrid forward.
Yeah, he is. I mean, if you – I guess maybe even the best comparison would be like a bigger Jared Swapshire, a guy who's very versatile. He can go out. He can step out far away, make some jumpers. He can rebound well. He's not like super big in terms of like you don't want him to be a dedicated post man, but he can guard the post if you need him to.
And potential matchup problem, sounds like.
Against Syracuse, he's going to be a big player against a team like Syracuse that has like a lot of big bodies.
Yeah,
because you could play him potentially at the three if you needed to. You don't want to, but you can play him at the three in year one. In year two, hopefully his body develops because he's got a nice frame to be able to go in there and be a dedicated four.
Any wild plays when you watch the KDF? I mean, I know they kind of all run together, but watching Jalen, was there any play there?
Jalen, there for a second, Quentin actually had back-to-back alley-oops on consecutive trips to Jalen and Chinaunu.
Nice.
So it was kind of like the time to be there, and they're both from like half court.
Oh, really? So, nice.
They're both from half court. Yeah. So it was like, whoa.
Well, we've been enjoying the alley-oops to Trez for a year, so we're just kind of getting that, making sure that we keep that in the family.
We get one more year of these Trez alley-oops.
Yeah.
And, we're going to
You guys are in training. Don't forget, you're taking over for Trez when he's gone.
There's every dunk after Trez is just going to feel like, why are you even trying that?
Yeah. Rim barely broke.
Exactly. But I was able to talk to Jalen. And I think he's a really good kid. I think people are going to really like his personality. I think they'll really like Quentin's personality, as you already heard. But Jalen's personality, big. I mean, he seems like a very, very good kid from Michigan.
Rick likes solid kids that get good grades, that work real hard, that are athletic. I mean, the quality of player that we're getting at Louisville right now is like none I've ever seen in any decade of Louisville basketball. Like they all like have like a 3-4 average, grade point average. They're all like doing charity stuff, and then they're all working as hard as they can on basketball. I mean, it's a group to be proud of, like I've never seen over the last few years.
Yeah, and I hope it pans out. But we do have some Jalen audio.
All right, let's cut to Jalen Johnson. Mark caught up with him after the KDF Classic.
One-on-one.
Cool. All right, thanks, man. What did you learn about your future teammates tonight?
They like to share the ball, and they block shots, and we work together good.
Who recruited you the most?
Coach Keats.
Coach Keats.
Yeah.
Now that he's gone, are you a little nervous about going in there?
Just basically got to take another just go higher and my work harder, my work ethic, get in the weight room, stay in the gym.
What was your reaction when Montrezl Harrell announced his comeback?
I was happy. I mean, I like to win, and him coming back will help us win, so I was real happy.
Does it affect you at all that there may not be as many minutes to go around?
Well, that really don't affect me. It all depends on how I work. I mean, sky's the limit, and him coming back, it helps me compete more, and that helps me get more ready for the NBA.
Can you just walk us through the dunk contest a little bit when it looks like you're trying to help your mom guide the ball into it and she kind of toss it off the backboard? How was that with you all?
It was fun because yesterday, it didn't work right that well. So, but she wanted to do it so bad, and I'm like, Mom, we're not doing that, man. I gotta get a high point. We ain't doing that. I was like, yeah, forget it. He's going to do it. I had that much.
Who throws a better lob, your mom or Quentin Snyder?
Quentin Snyder. My mom a big man.
First time you've ever beaten your mom in one-on-one?
Probably 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, she always – my mom is known for this basketball. She just was such a great player. And by the grace of God, I mean, she helped me, and it came all – I added some more parts to my game level. Yeah.
Anything Coach Pitino wants you to work on the offseason to get ready for next year?
Just like my strength, and he wants me to be more of a scorer, like score even more.
What are you looking most forward to next year?
Just basically improving so much that I can be ready for the NBA.
You and Nanu and Chief play all together on the same team. What was the chemistry like out there?
It was cool. I mean, we had some minor setbacks, but at the end, it was more comebacks than setbacks.
How awesome is that to feel like that second half, dude, when you threw it across the court? What was that feeling going through your head there?
I was like, oh, yeah, our fans here. What's up, our point guard? I'm about to dunk this move. Yeah, I had a crowd rock.
What's one of your strengths in your game, and what's a weakness in your game?
My weakness, we don't have a weakness. My weak probably be my shooting, but it's not weak. I mean, I just got to get my shoot percentage up. And my strength, blocking shots, scoring, stuff like that, versatility. My main reason is my strength, though.
What did you think about Quentin? I mean, was he as good as you expected, better than you expected?
He better than I expected. I always thought he was good since LeBron, but he's better than I expected.
What do you think it meant to him to be out here in front of his hometown and kind of come out here and play in this building with all his home fans here? You think he was looking to kind of put on a show a little bit?
Well, before we even started, I mean, I thought he was sleepy. He was like, man, I'm just getting focused. I'm like, okay. That's what I like. So.
If fans are going to get to know Jalen Johnson off the basketball floor, what's sort of the things that make you tick as a person?
I'm cool. I had to build the self-esteem, basically just know who I am. But I hate when people talk down for no reason. All other people and me. I mean, I just hate that. But I kind of find out there's a lot of haters in the world. So, yeah.
Who's your favorite musical artist, superhero?
I listen to gospel. My favorite musical artist would probably be Dietrich Haddon. And superhero, God, that's my favorite superhero. Without him, I couldn't do nothing. And basketball player, my mom.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, well, there he is, Mr. Jalen Johnson.
Mr. Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, he's going to be bringing the Jalen Johnson to Louisville next year.
Absolutely. Chinanu, I know we've talked about him a couple times on both, talking about both players, but to me, he's like a Stephen Van Treese right now. No offense, really, to speak of.
Although Stephen Van Treese hits threes when he wants to.
Yeah.
He's the highest three-point shooter on the team, by the way.
Yeah,
one of two.
Actually, I think Montrezl was 2 for 3.
Really?
So I think. We'll have to go back and look. But
we'll double
maybe
check.
That doesn't even matter.
But they are the highest two.
Yeah, they were the two guys that shot the least.
Yeah.
Chinanu, he's a bigger Van Treese with shot-blocking ability.
That's good.
So if you just want to like say, what did I gain by going from Van Treese to Chinanu? He's not as wide as Steven, but he gives the same amount of fight.
Yeah.
He's not as polished or as smart in terms of fouling.
Yeah, he's a high school kid, too.
But, but
well, you know, he's going to get there. His brother's in the NBA.
Yeah, he's got to learn, and, you know, because Steven was a fifth-year guy.
Just real quick, Orenze Onuwaku, just in case you all didn't make that connection, that T-Wills, U of L's team, had run against him at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. He is in the NBA. Jets Chinaunu's brother. I was surprised that he picked Louisville. I'm happy that he picked Louisville.
Yeah.
But he comes from very good basketball stock.
Yeah, and I really like, you know, where he is. He definitely needs to develop an offensive game. He's a shot blocker. He's a rebounder. He needs this fine-tuning. And I think he probably saw what Rick Pitino did with Gorgui Dieng. Was very attracted to that, because
especially when Gorgui's winning Rookie of the Month after basically hardly playing all year behind a very successful starter at Minnesota, and then hitting not only game winners but three pointers.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Gorgui could not have ended a more magical rookie year. Like, you know, he just showed up for the final 6 weeks. And he won the trophy for the Rookie of the Month, hit a game winner, hit three pointers. I mean, it was just like, what the hell is going on? Why isn't this guy playing all the time?
And his coach was so enchanted by Gorgui's play that he decided that I've seen enough. I'm going to retire now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to get any better than
that's
that.
That's right. So, moving on. But obviously, he made a good name for himself. And that's
absolutely.
And Gorgui fell into that range where we talked about in an earlier podcast about Rick Pitino mentioning kind of that later round pick. Once you get out of that, you know, that kind of that 15, 17. I think Gorgui was 19, 18, 20.
He was in the teens.
Somewhere around there.
I don't
there.
Exactly remember.
It was late. And then late teens, if it was teens. And then so he goes to a team that's pretty good, not great. They got a starter, didn't get to play much. And that's what he was talking about. It's hard to get that next contract because you're not getting the minutes to make yourself better. And then no one knows if you're any good because you haven't been playing. Well, they got an injury, so Gorgui got to show flash of brilliance, and that probably pay off for him down the road.
Yeah, they're going to have a problem in Minnesota because Kevin Love probably, I don't know, I think it's almost 99% positive he's not going to return. But they do have Ricky Rubio. They do have the kid, Shabazz Muhammad, mm-hmm. out of UCLA. He's on that team. Their post players are just old and departing. So the guys that they have that they're keeping broke down a lot for them mm-hmm. this year. And then Kevin Love was their one
good.
Rock.
Gorgui hopefully gets a minute.
He's going to go somewhere else. I just really like that Kevin Love, Gorgui Dieng combo. It worked well for Gorgui. So they're going to need to find a good four for him to play with. But they will. And Minnesota is a good franchise for Gorgui. Hmm. Being up there with Richard, same city. He see all the time.
Asia Taylor,
the yeah. Oh, is she go? Is she a Lynx?
I think it's Asia Taylor went to the Minnesota Lynx. So
yeah,
because Antonita went to Los Angeles, so she can do all her silly dances, and then of course Shoni went to Atlanta to play with Angel McCautry. Man, I wish we could have them play at U of L at the same time. So
we should get an exhibition game.
The only college to draft three people. We talked about it last week. We won't talk about it again. But
sure.
The only college to draft
I'm
three.
I'm still excited about
the
it.
NBA,
Mike.
Yeah. We should be proud of that. Yeah. I mean, Louisville, on a year that we're disappointed in, which is a year that most programs pray for.
Right.
We also happen to have the most women drafted of any college. I mean, it's not you're the Cardinal. We're really sorry about that, but we're still doing very well.
So. Exactly.
Topic of the week.
Do you know what came out? The other day?
What came out the other day?
The ACC basketball schedule.
Man, I'm so excited. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I honestly...
Like, if you said draw a dream schedule for college basketball, this, to me, reminds me of, like, being an independent, and you just play whoever you want, and you just played all the best teams.
There's no Marquette. There's no Cincinnati. There's no Georgetown. There's no Villanova. But you get Duke, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Miami, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Clemson at home.
We have out of conference with Kentucky and Indiana, and
Minnesota,
just goes on and on.
And you know, you're also going to play away to Boston College, Florida State, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Miami, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Virginia, and Wake Forest.
So North Carolina comes to Louisville next year.
We return.
Duke comes to Louisville next year.
Kentucky
comes to Louisville next year.
Virginia was a number one seed.
Pittsburgh?
Last year. Pittsburgh
comes to Louisville.
Miami was a number one seed 2 years ago.
Remember the good old days of the Big East just 1 year ago. They're back.
And maybe
a little better.
I mean, you know, we're
going to Syracuse. Just so you know, we do play the Q's. We do get to make them our bitch again, and we're going to do it at the Carrier Dome.
Well, the great thing about this league is it brings over a lot of the clout from the Big East and then injected it into an already very highly respected ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would love to replace, like, you know, Georgia Tech with Villanova
Well, one school that will be underappreciated is Virginia. So we have a home and away with them.
Well, they were just the number one seed.
Clearly, they're very good, and we watched them play in the NCAA tournament. But still, it won't excite anyone. But they're going to be very good next year, and we're going to have two games against them. So that's a team where you're like, I'd rather play a Georgetown. It's like that's the fight between the name versus the actual team that's good.
Exactly.
And Virginia is the actual team that's good right now.
And we say all the time, we've said it for years in football, you don't play the jersey, you play the people inside the jersey.
Louisville's football team has been slighted by the jersey
and so
many
times.
So we're empathetic to that.
We're not going to start doing that now. Miami was an incredible football or basketball program 2 years ago. They slid down a little bit. There's no reason to think that they can't rise again, and the ACC is going to be a grind.
Yeah.
You know, if you are 500 in this league, you're a damn good basketball team.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what kind of learning curve we're going to have.
Another big benefit of having Trezel return.
Big.
Because he was playing the grind of the Big East.
Yep.
And he knows the grind. So he's back in it, and he can tell all these young guys, not Mango, who's never seen it. I mean, he watched it from street clothes, but, you know, like in it to win it. So that, you know,
him and Wayne, both. I mean, if you look at it, Wayne was a starter.
And they're the captains.
And those two are your captains, and they're going to have to grab these guys. And I think we have a lot of real hard-knock guys like Terry Rozier. I think Chris Jones will do well in this league. I think he's going to get bumped around a lot more in the ACC than he did in the AAC.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see how he does, but I think Quentin Snyder will be fine. I think, obviously Wayne Blackshear will be good. We got to get a big to work out, but Louisville's really well positioned here for next season. So I'm pumped about this.
Like, football too. Just everything.
we can talk about this now, but we snoozed through a lot of the last season because
even games that were good, SMU, it's like, I don't know. I'm not that excited about playing them.
And we grew.
But we knew they were good.
We grew as a podcast, and we grew as a web property, but we saw your internet traffic and even in growth. And you know, we can see, we can have a good pulse
apathetic
of how you guys feel.
Apathetic.
And we felt it
for
too.
Man, that football schedule was such a bummer. Obviously, next year's is going to be amazing. Basketball schedule is kind of a bummer. Next year, it's going to be amazing.
Louisville is an official ACC member on July 1st.
That's right.
2014. Now, we are not that far away. So, people can get out their AC jokes or Big East jokes, Conference USA jokes, as long as they want to.
Louisville has, the conference, Metro to CUSA to the Big East. Now we're in the ACC. And it's funny because you look in the ACC, and the ACC isn't even what the ACC used to be. If you look in the ACC, there are old teams from the Metro. There are old teams from the Big East. It is like every conference UofL's just traveled just got wadded up in a ball and turned into the ACC.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
obviously not Duke and all them. I'm just saying the growth of the ACC was basically Louisville's sports life.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time there where we looked at the Metro Conference and you're like, that's a great football conference.
If they would
ever play football.
Florida
together?
State, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech was in there.
Yeah.
I mean, South Carolina is in SEC, but
great football league.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been great if they could have just put it all together. Things work out the way they're supposed to, but Louisville really took the road, like the hardest road, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you go Metro, Missouri Valley, to Metro, to Conference USA, and not knowing what your football is going to even look like.
Howard bailed. He's like, I've had enough of this.
And then you meddle through
that. You all can suck it.
You win, Now all of a sudden you're in the Big East, and that seems like paradise because you're like, we're finally relevant again. And then all of a sudden,
ESPN attacks.
That I mean, drops out.
It's ridiculous. Big East football was doing so well. Like if you, and you go back and like the total amount of BCS wins, like BCS is one, or Big East is one of the best. Total bowl wins, Big East is one of the best. Yep. But in the media, oh, it was the worst thing that's ever happened to life.
Ever. I mean, in... You know,
I don't know why that happened.
Everything ended up working out perfectly for Louisville and all these things.
Think if we're in the Big 12.
Because think of if Maryland.
Think if we had to go 1,200 miles every time we wanted to watch a road game.
Think if Steve Kragthorpe wasn't an awful football coach and Big 12 wanted Louisville instead of West Virginia.
Thank you, Steve. You got us to the Big 12.
Way to go,
Would we hate him more?
We might hate him more right now.
After our first season?
Especially if Maryland decides they leave and West Virginia goes to the ACC.
Yeah.
So things happened out really well, and hopefully things stay this way. And I think it's actually going to do well because everybody is looking at it now like it's going to go to a 5-conference subdivision away from actually even FBS.
Yeah.
It's going to go to this 5-conference subdivision where everybody's going to operate under a different set of rules.
Yeah, I do hope Connecticut and Cincinnati can get on the bandwagon because there's terrible teams inside the 5 conferences that do not deserve to be there more so than teams like Cincinnati or Connecticut.
There's a spot.
Clearly.
There's a spot for in the ACC once Notre Dame decides that they want to become a full member. So they'll go 15 to 16. They'll need a 16th. And then there's a spot, obviously, for Cincinnati, I think, of the Big 12, that they'll eventually move on.
What about the Big 10?
With BYU.
Big 11.
They won't. Ohio State will never allow them to do that. It's in Ohio State's best interest to keep everybody in their state down. Mm-hmm. And they operate the same way that Kentucky did when they didn't really want to schedule a lot of their teams. And Ohio State will schedule Cincinnati when they know that Cincinnati isn't going to be very good.
Yeah.
And they
Hey, you want to play?
Hey.
We haven't been around in a few years, but we noticed that you're terrible.
And it looks like y'all have the flu. Yeah. Y'all want to play?
Yeah. That's a little known fact what we posted before the UK UofL basketball game is that UK did in fact ask Louisville to play and they said no. When the whole Louisville and UK finally met in the dream game, it's because Joe B. Hall asked them to play when Louisville lost 6 seniors. They had all freshmen and it was game one of the year, so they'll have 0 playing experience.
Exactly. So
and they had Sam Bowie and all the All Americans and they were top 5 in the country.
Want to
play?
We call that scheduling around the myth.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a if you have a constant setup of like this is your rival, this is when you play, there's no avoiding it, and people go up and down.
Yeah.
That's the way athletics always happens.
Yeah.
But like if you only want to play somebody when you know you're going to be down, or when they're going to be down, then that's not really playing them. Like Florida, for example, they went from like 1992 without playing anybody outside the state of Florida out of conference. Mm-hmm. The last time they did that up until this coming season when they actually will do it was Syracuse in 1992. They lost to Syracuse in the Carrier Dome.
They said, we're never doing it again.
And they just said, we're never playing out of Florida out of conference again. And that's just not
– we're not going to do it for 23 years.
That's not helping your program. You know, it's just not. Right. Like, you know, they'll say, oh, well, why do we need to play in New York? We're not going to recruit New York, and that's true. But it's not all about recruiting. No, it's about
playing football.
It's about establishing your brand in other places of the country and going up and saying, hey, guess what? I have a football team, and it's better than yours, and I don't care what you got. We're going to go play you and beat you.
That's competition.
That's all it is.
If you're afraid of competition, then maybe you're a Florida Gator.
And college football has been very scared of competition for a long time. And I'm so happy because not only are we going into the ACC, but there's a college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And that's going to expand at some point from 4 to 8. I truly believe that. There's so much movement for that. And I think the biggest worry, and I talked, listened to Kirk Herbstreit the other day at their off luncheon down at the Galt House to kick off the Kentucky Derby Festival. It was just interesting to hear him talk about what the college football playoff look like and what the major concern is expanding from 4 to 8 teams is you're going to play a semifinal game in like Pasadena and then maybe and then the championship game will be anywhere. They put it out to bid kind of like they do the Final Four, but they know where the semifinal games will be each year. The championship games will change. And the first year, it's in Dallas, Jerry's World.
Okay.
So let's say you're a Louisville fan and you have
the national championship caliber team right away. Bobby Petrino's tearing it up. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, January 1, you take your family to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. You spend $3,000 on airfare and hotels.
Yep.
They win that game, and you took a week off or a weekend off, long weekend, and now you're back in Louisville. Can you make travel and hotel and work arrangements with your family to the very next weekend to Dallas?
To me, it's the same thing as however much you follow him in basketball.
Yeah.
Because, I went to Indianapolis and then I went to Dallas. You know, it's just like it's the same thing as for football. Everyone acts like it's different, but it's not. It's the exact same. You're choosing how you want to spend your money. And if you want to spend your money for using vacation destinations following the cards, then great. Then do it. But they're used to seeing attendance go to 100,000 per game. That will come down. But I think they will absolutely get people to attend all the games. If they love their team, they're going to go to once in a lifetime opportunity.
Well, you know what? I think it will end up happening in the end. I think they're gonna do this for, I think it's 15 years is what the contract is. I think what they're going to do is they're going to see that this travel thing doesn't really work, having it moving it around the country. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to come to an agreement that they're going to have four sites. And those four sites are going to rotate hosting the Final Four of football. Mm-hmm. You're going to have two teams play on a Friday, play on a Saturday, and then a week later on a Saturday play for the championship.
Yeah.
And I think it'll all happen in one place so that somebody can travel, they can get off for a week.
Yeah, and if for a bowl game, they show up and they hang out for a week before they play pretty much.
Yeah, if it's Miami, you're at a vacation.
So it's no different.
Yeah, it's a week off work.
You put two games instead of one.
Exactly, and now you're only buying one flight. You're not moving around. The tickets come as a package. So like in the Final Four, you buy sessions.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what will end up happening. But whether that's going to be a long time, because the current arrangement that they have is quite a
lot. You know what they'll say? They'll say, we can't do that because playing two games in 2 weeks is hard. it all year long.
Right. Well, they do it all year long, and it is, I mean,
it's just funny the logic they'll throw out for these things. Like, oh, well, we can't – these kids, they've got to stay in school, so we can't do a tournament. Then they add a 12th game.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they just keep talking out of both sides of their faces. Just like, just do it.
Well, the thing is
– no one's listening to you all anymore.
For the college football playoff, we'll learn the schedule and how they do everything. They will have longer time in between games. But, think about – it's not – during a time where they're in school, right? So January 1, nobody's in school yet. A lot of people come back, January 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere in there. But the media requirement that they are going to have, and not to mention the fact that it is the holidays, is going to be kind of a weird thing for the college football playoff. So it's going to be like they're going to have a ton of media throughout the week, and they're also going to need to put together a game plan to go out and win the game.
Yeah.
So the coaches, the players, everybody like that, they probably do need a couple extra days.
Suck it up.
And the media probably needs a couple extra days, too, to kind of evaluate. But, anyway, that's just
Sorry that you get to play a game and have a lot of fun.
And for a championship.
For a championship. We feel terrible for you.
Right.
Life's so hard. Don't ask the military how hard life is, because then you'll actually find out how hard life is. But, okay, folks, that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'm glad Mark brought us those interviews from the KDF.
I just have one quick thing
to
bring up on Thursday this week at Westport Village, 6 to 8 o'clock, Russ Smith and Luke Hancock are going to be signing a national championship print.
The national championship print.
And with the artist, Scott Senta, a good friend of mine, at Higgins Gallery in Westport Village from 6 to 8 p.m., Luke and Russ. You can get their signature on.
That's it. If you like championship.
If you like championship
material signed by Russ and Luke, if you're into that.
Epic ball players like, the MOP, Russ Diculus, kind of legends of the sport sign your championship.
Nobody wants that for their man cave.
If you're into that.
How much is it?
It's $50.
Dude.
For so signature print.
So you get the artist rendering picture that he did.
And the artist will sign it if you want his signature. But
Scott will sign it.
Or if you just want Luke and Russ, he's not a fan.
And Luke and Russ. And then you've got the Forever Man Cave. You should put lights on it.
Yeah, it should it should be in protected glass.
Yeah.
It can't get washed
out. Some kind of angel harps and...
Yep. Oh!
temperature and humidity
at all times. That's right. Yeah. Hire a bodyguard to sit by it.
And then we can work on getting Gorgie and Peyton and, you know, and then maybe eventually Wayne to sell sign these things.
We'll do what we have to do.
And maybe some Shane Behan.
Now, where is it again?
Higgins Gallery. Higgins in Gallery. Westport Village.
Westport
six
Village.
To, 6 to 8 o'clock.
All right, that's pretty cool. 6 to 8. Thursday?
Thursday.
What's the date of Thursday?
April 24th.
April 24th. Okay, folks. So, you know, obviously they're not going to keep signing things. Their hands are eventually going to cramp up. This is an opportunity to get them to sign a national championship print. Pretty cool. Anyway, thank you for joining us this week. And don't forget, you can catch us this week and every week on Louisville.am, our partner, on thecrunchzone.com, our website, or you can set us up for immediate download on iTunes. So just search for The Crunch Zone and you can pull it down. In the summer months, we may back it down to about monthly or every other week just because there's less news, but baseball is still rolling right now. So we're going to carry this through Dan McDonald series and cheer on the Cards.
We're also going to probably get going into the ACC, different people who know these programs and introduce you to them. People like Boston College, NC State, and try to do a series that you can get acquainted with these programs.
Get ACC'd up.
ACC'd.
We're going to ACC you later on the Crunch Zone. Thanks for catching us this week, and catch us next week too. Mark, anything?
First,
go Cards.
Cards forever. I promise to rep the field.